Hello, hello, hello.
He made it.
I made it.
Will it be annoying? It was quite annoying, actually.
I mean, annoying enough. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. I'm happy this is happening.
I know. I was like, who do I get first? Had to be you. who literally has enough stories to endlessly go on, and then also with the current situation being a different city and still make
facts.
It's kind of mad.
Facts. It's crazy.
But the first thing I was thinking of was that Levi's thing you did, the little, what do you call it? Like a home gig?
Yeah, they sold it to me as like a at home live, at home festival.
A festival?
For like the 501 day, they booked Snoop Dogg, Moses Sumney, and I guess I was like one of the two French artists that were booked for the festival.
That's kind of mad. Your music's like taking off everywhere now.
It's doing pretty good. It's doing good. I know. I'm actually surprised myself.
I remember like what I met you, 5 years ago, 4 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. 5 years, I think.
Yeah, and you were like this photographer hanging out in the club, and now you're like. But the thing is, I didn't know your photography back then either, and then it was like a year later that we met again.
Yeah, true.
Like, every time is random, and it was fully.
That's true.
Oh yeah, I make music now. And that's like your main thing.
But I think you're one of the first people that has actually heard the new music I was making, like when you came to my place.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Actually, it's been ages. Actually,
it's been ages. It's been a fucking while.
And
am I allowed to swear on this? Hello.
It went weird, then, didn't it?
Yeah, am I allowed to swear on this or?
Yeah, well, I was gonna ask you, and I was like, if I ask and she says no, then no. But I'm gonna say yes, and then we can bleep it.
Okay.
I think so. Like, I mean, if people who don't swear normally just have bad opinions, so
yeah, I feel that.
It's quite a rash statement, but if you genuinely think about it, it's quite true.
I mean, it's true. Like. I don't have any of my friends that are interesting that don't swear
exactly.
On a constant basis.
Exactly. I was generally thinking, they're like, wait, do I? And I was like, nope. Everyone swears. Everyone swears, but then that's their favorite swear word.
Yeah, facts, definitely.
That's the best part of living in Paris, is like being the only like British person using British swear words.
Facts. Do you use wanker?
Actually, only to someone driving a car.
Oh yeah, I love that word. I love that word so much.
What are you working on at the moment, man? Are you
right now?
All over or just focused?
I'm a little all over, but I'm producing an album for another artist right now, who's called Sid Floyd.
Okay.
And so we just finished recording the album. And so I produced everything. It was my first time producing like a full record for someone else, which was interesting.
Was it like weird doing someone else's music? Because like...
It's so weird.
I guess you can't just be like, oh, let's just change this to this and this to that. Because it's not what I don't say.
There's like a separation of ego that you have to have that I was not ready to accept in the beginning.
You could have got to learn to fuck the shit right now.
I was like, no, this is how it's gonna be. And they're like, no. I'm like, what do you mean, no?
I can legit imagine you doing that. Well. Just straight up.
And I'm producing my second EP as well, which is fun. Which is all about the same girl that you know of, but let's not name her.
Half this thing already, like secrecy. That's like classic LA like musician now though, isn't it?
I guess it is.
If you're a musician and you move to LA, because no one's ever from LA, they always end up moving there.
No one is ever from here. I think I've met from the six five, I think I've been here for like 5 months. I've met only one person that's actually from LA.
But then if you like hear where they're from like the most suburby part of LA that it doesn't really
go. Facts. Exactly. Exactly.
Oh yeah, I just realized it's been like 5 months since lockdown now.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Time makes no more sense.
No, it really doesn't. I was on the phone to someone earlier and they was like, I've got to go have lunch, and I've completely forgot that it wasn't like 9 PM.
Exactly.
You're like doing all of this out of your own. Because I remember when you first went out there, wasn't it? Like you said, you was going to go for like not even that long.
Three days.
Yeah, I remember you did to be like here less for
3 days.
For about a week.
Yeah, I was supposed to be here for 3 days and then playing South by Southwest and staying there for 2 days. Coming back for a day and flying out to Paris. But all that lockdown shit happened in like a week.
Literally went from a week to half a year.
Exactly. I think I'm going to stay here for a long, long time because we're building a label with Adam Vidal and James Pereira. And we just found the name 2 days ago.
How's that going? That's like a, I feel like lockdown has kind of made you like finally do the shit you wanted to do.
Exactly. I think it finally helped me focus and say no to jobs that, you know, I usually never say no to money.
Yeah.
And with lockdown and everything, I was focused enough to be okay. Like, this is what I really want to do. This is how it's going to be done. And I found the people that were able to help me get that shit done as well.
It's funny you were saying, I was talking to someone else about that, saying like learning to say no, like when it comes to like creative jobs and options and stuff like that, is that some of the best thing you can learn?
Facts. Definitely. Definitely. I was a little bitch before lockdown. I'm not going to lie. I was a little bitch.
What, just kind of saying, like, if people was like, we'll pay you, and then you'd be like, yep, sure, done, even if it wasn't your thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, okay. There's a borderline with it as well.
Yeah.
Like, if some people, like, misread that situation, they would say no so much, unless it was, like, 100% their own thing.
Facts. But those people usually end up being broke.
Yeah.
You know? And I have, like, a whole family I have to support, like, my mom lives at my place in Paris. My sister lives at my place in Paris. And, you know, I pay for, like, mostly everything. So I can't really say no either. So.
But that's not the good luck. But you've been, what, taking photos for how long?
For about 10 years now.
Yeah, like, so, like, I think if you look at a photographer, like, a 10-year career of photography, you've done some quite major things, to be fair.
Yeah, it's actually, like, it's... When I look back at it, seeing the ups and downs, like there's moments where I'm like, oh, I was really clever on this part. And then there's moments where I was like, oh, why were you such a little shit?
Yeah, but that's good that you can look back at that, though. Because some people call it hunters look back and just think of all the what ifs and stuff like that. Damn, 10 years taking photos. How long have you been making music then? Like as a project? Because you've been playing guitar for like ever, basically.
Well, I actually started playing music before photography. I played with like the Miles Davis people when I was 13.
That's a bit of a flex.
So that was like maybe, 13 years ago. And then I had a quick band with people that are now called Offenbach.
Oh, okay. Or
like double platinum, you know, EDM people. But we used to play funk, which was my thing. And when they went to EDM, I was like, yeah, no, I'm out.
That's quite a big like change from funk to EDM.
Yeah, I mean they wanted to make money, and back then
I'm so glad you picked that first. I was about to say that sounds more like a money jump. EDM is a special kind of thing though. Wait, did you disappear? No.
That is hello, hello. Fucking hell.
Take two.
I'm back. So yeah, that was like before my grandfather died, and he was like providing for my whole family, and then when he died we had no more money, and then that's when I started making money when I was 16.
16?
yeah.
Wait, when did you move to Paris though? That bit I always forget.
I moved to Paris when I was 13.
Oh, okay. So you're still pretty new to Paris, really.
I was super new. I was super new to everything, trying to, you know, understand the culture, understand the people.
Yeah, like Paris is not a city you can just kind of land in.
Yeah, exactly. Started smoking cigarettes.
Drinking coffee. Smoking paper.
Exactly.
Your jeans. To be fair, your jeans are not as tight as most French people.
Yeah.
That is quite a French thing. I just remember that when I was being there.
Everyone smokes cigarettes and drinks coffee. It's crazy.
People would smoke coffee if they knew how.
Facts. Facts. I'm sure there's like coffee jewels or something.
Oh, I feel like that's already a thing somewhere. Or like a bookie fake version.
Perhaps. I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised.
I would not be surprised if LA had it.
I'm pretty sure they do. I mean, they have every possible flavor of inhalables.
I know, it was just like, what can we do to get the Kardashians to advertise?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, LA is a weird city too, man.
What is LA like though at the moment? Because you've been there since basically lockdown started, but still been doing loads of like bits and bobs and like with work. So it's kind of like,
I mean, right before the protest, everything started, like everyone was like, okay, fuck this, we gotta work, we gotta like sustain ourselves.
Yeah.
It's like everything just randomly starting opening up without any government like quote, you know?
Yeah.
But now we're back in lockdown apparently, but no one gives a fuck, so.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I feel like no one really cares, like, about that.
No one cares
anymore.
No one cares. And that's why we have the highest rates of corona.
England is pretty bad as well, though. I'm saying.
Have you guys came out of lockdown?
Like, sort of, but not really. It's kind of like, like, the Prime Minister literally put out a video saying, like, go to work, don't go to work. And if you can get the bus to work, get the bus to work, but don't take the train. And it's just like, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you mean. I see what you mean. Bipolars.
Yeah, it's just like, make your mind up. Or don't make your mind up. Get someone who knows what they're doing to make their mind.
Exactly. But it seems like your government is really bipolar in everything right now.
Literally everything. I feel like they flip a coin on most ideas. Like, if you look at the way they think in their conferences, it's like they don't know what they're saying.
Facts. Fucking facts.
Like a little
fucking facts.
Control in them.
Yeah. Yeah, the inconstance in your politics is crazy.
Oh, I love how a French person living in America talks about my politics, but okay.
When both of my countries are so fucked.
Man, I feel like, what's worse? Like, you've really pulled like two short straws. Like, you got Macron and then Trump.
Yeah, it's facts. I mean, to be honest, I'd take Macron over Trump any day.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't be normally.
Exactly. Exactly. So fucked up.
Yeah, I was like, I had a deep thought about that then. I was like, nah.
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
Nope, not today. Not today.
We have galleries opening here soon, which I think will be interesting.
Really?
You know, let's say that within the next, I think it's like week and a half, week.
Yeah.
I think that would be interesting.
As my manager would say, there's a lot that can happen in a week during Corona.
Yeah, true.
Like, it could be World War III tomorrow.
I feel like no one would even wake up to that, though. They honestly would just be like, you know what? Fine.
Yeah, 2020 is just like the fuck it year. Like, oh yeah, okay, fuck it.
It's kind of just like all the things you don't want to happen happening. And if you can come out without like shaving all your hair off, you've probably done all right.
Facts. Facts. I was nearly there. I nearly shaved my hair off. Again.
I was about to say, like, you spent so long getting it back.
Facts. My manager was like, don't do it, Sylvan. Don't do it. Not again. Not again, please.
Your manager's your little angel on your shoulder.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, we're building your image. All your press shots are with your hair. Please don't fucking shave your hair.
Yeah, what about the hat?
Well, to be honest, the hat was just a ruse
to grow the hair.
Not exactly.
Because I've got another thing. I feel like the hat was so your thing.
I mean, it was, you know, a simple, you know, stratagem to build the image while my hair was inexistent, you know.
You kind of, like, I don't know how to explain your image, though. Like, you're quite, like, if you look at your Instagram, it's kind of just, like, very chill.
Yeah, it's chill as fuck.
Yeah, like super chill. But then you kind of still work out who you are.
Yeah, I don't really know what I'm doing with it right now. Because I am conflicted between, you know, being the person that I am, who's like chill and, you know, it still speaks up for like the things he believes in, but also the person that people want me to be and that's actually marketable.
That's the hard thing, yeah. Like now that you're more into the music as such.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like photography. No, it's. I feel like bad people just go along with it anyway.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't know. That's why I want to build the image of the band more than my image.
Yeah.
And have me more like a Chris Martin chill guy, sort of without the vegan specs to me. And the band be marketable.
Yeah. What's it like being in a band now, like during this though, or this situation?
Well, I've always produced everything myself, and like on the last EP, on the Lucky Angel EP, my drummer Jules produced some of the guitars and some of the drums, but from afar as well. I was already here when he started doing it, so I guess, you know, I'm kind of used to being far from them, and we'll join back together when we go on tour, if we can ever go on tour.
That's the thing, yeah. Like it's just gonna end up being like endless digital concerts,
which I do not fuck with. I hate them so much.
I kind of think like people trying to pursue digital art, like I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to keep like some of the same again.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't work.
It just doesn't work. It's just not it. There's just like not the same energy. And it's honestly depressing.
Yeah, because it's like a band wants to perform in front of people and they're kind of just like.
Exactly.
You.
How are we supposed to get girls?
The main reason you get in a band.
Like shit. I can come to my digital live. No, that doesn't work.
Like all the bands are gonna come back out and just like look like shit.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like Alex Turner's moving back to Europe and there's probably
really?
Apparently. But again for a girl, so
you know.
You know, if you could you would. But they don't make an album anyway anymore, like, they're just gonna chill.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the love of my life is here, so I'm okay being here.
Yeah, I feel like you're just going to end up moving there now.
Well, it definitely looks like that.
But also, like, you've been there for so long now, like, I feel like you've kind of you've settled in, like, your music definitely there from what it looks like.
Yeah.
And in photography, yeah. Like, you kind of just, that's quite chill for you as well, actually, if you think about it.
That's what?
Like when you do your photography, I feel like, because like your models are more just like your friends and your pals.
Exactly, exactly.
And then your like back shots as such are kind of just whatever flows.
Exactly, exactly. And I have brands, you know, calling me and sending me shit from Europe to shoot here with my friends.
Yeah.
So like that's amazing. Like I'm shooting something with Paco Rabanne next week.
Oi.
And they're just, like, sending me shit and, you know. And what's crazy is that they've got the rights to David Bowie, to the Hero song.
Shit, really?
So I'm going to do a... Yeah, I'm so stoked. I'm going to do a video to that song.
Damn. That is Paco Rabanne money.
You know? You know?
That's quite funny when yeah. Big brands can literally just pull, like, things like that there.
Right? It's crazy. It's crazy. But it feels good. It feels good. Like... My life here, I feel like I've had more evolution in all points of my either photography career or music career in 5 months than I have had in maybe the past 5 years in Paris, which is crazy.
Does the market feel different? Like
the market is just so, there's so much more opportunity and everyone is business driven.
Yeah.
So like in Paris, you'd be like having drinks, going to parties, Paris yada, yada, yada. Oh, Paris is like driven by alcohol.
Yeah, like you go to like work in fashion in Paris and half of the thing isn't work. It's like hanging out at parties to try and get work.
Exactly. Exactly. Whereas here, no one even calls you if there's not money behind it, you know?
Yeah. Is that nice though to kind of have that ability or do you kind of miss the...
Well, I've been kind of, you know, struggling to get paid and shit like that in Paris, and it feels good to have my friends and then have my work people where I know I'm going to work with them, and then I have my friends where I know they're my friends.
Yeah.
You know, and it's and they pay you like cash in hand, bro.
Oh, really?
Like, I have not done one single gig that I'm waiting to get paid from the US.
Huh.
I'm owed 20,000 euros in France for gigs that I've done like up to 3 years ago.
That's kind of mad. It's actually like quite, I don't know the word for it, but to hear someone talk about how the system can, like, fuck you, even though, like, you look like that, to people who kind of sort of know, sort of don't, you look like you're, like, living high.
Yeah.
Wait, did you see that Kanye thing? When did he release it? Was it, like, last year? I mean, of course you're not talking about Kanye, but, like, is that, I know some of this video he put out when he got, like, taxed, like, $35 million or something.
Really?
And they worked out his tax returns wrong. No, he got taxed $60 million. Something like this. I can't remember the exact numbers, but basically they overtaxed him. And then on his tax return, he got like half of it, like way more than he should have back.
Wow.
Because the system basically can't do its own job.
Yeah, the system is kind of
funny. America is different to Europe, though.
I mean, this is like a flawed capitalist system. Where in France, I feel like it's a super flawed communist system.
Yeah, France always has like a communist edge to it.
Exactly.
But the last sip of the coffee is always a
communist. Or like a communist / hidden capitalized system.
Yeah, it does kind of have the like the seesaw effect a little.
Yeah, exactly.
But do you notice that though, like working in the difference of them?
Oh yeah, 100%. Like in France, it's like, oh, well, we can pay you later. Like, it's legal for us to do so. Like, we have 6 months to pay you. If you want to sue us. But before 6 months, like, you can't really do shit. But if you want to come have coffee, we can have coffee and be friends. And, like, and it's very confusing. Whereas here, it's, all right, this is the money. Get the job done. I'll call you when I need you.
Much more straightforward.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a big thing, though. I hate when, like, especially like from like doing like paintings for people in Paris and murals in Paris, they do kind of just say, I'll pay you like eventually. And it's kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Huge bank account. So like eventually to you, it's like, yeah. To everyone else, that's like
exactly
important funds.
Exactly. It's like, I've been living for the past 5 years on things that was owed to me for like 6 months before, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of like praying that the payment will be paid to the 6 months extent of what it should be paid.
Yeah, isn't it? You always just start kind of like checking your account the next day.
Exactly.
But then exactly. You feel bad for asking as well. It's like, why is this a burden on me?
Exactly. Whereas here, you don't ask. They send it when you get on. You show up, they pay you.
Yeah, that's how it should be. That is, I don't know why it's so hard. Like, that's the, I don't know. That's where like the whole like French, England's kind of the same too with like,
England and fashion is kind of the same for sure.
Yeah, but then fashion is terrible for stuff like that.
Fashion is terrible.
Fashion is just terrible.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm so excited for my second EP, man.
I know. I'm like, when is it coming out? Do you know yet, or like roughly?
Well, I'm gonna start really producing it, I think, next month.
Yeah.
But everything's written. It's called Double Rainbow.
How many songs is on it?
There's 5 songs. I actually have the layout. So I did a painting, and the name of the EP and everything comes from the painting that I did. And so basically, me and the girl that I'm in love with, uh-huh. She's like an angel, and I'm like an angel, like, and so there's 4 songs. There's one called Girl of the Woods. There's a second song that I'm going to keep the title for myself right now.
Fair enough.
There's a third song called Two Angels, a fourth song called Evil, with an O and a fifth song that's untitled right now. So five little songs. Probably. They're more like acoustic-y than the last one I put out.
Is it the same kind of, I don't want to say vibe because no one wants to say vibe, but is it the same kind of vibe?
It's the same concept lyric wise.
Yeah.
It's a little more hopeful.
Okay.
Since it's talking about an experience that has yet to happen.
That could be quite refreshing, like as a way, is like
definitely
something that hasn't happened. Because then it's pure hope.
Exactly. Exactly.
Let's and, your last music.
Oh, my last music was depressing.
But if it is, some of those, like, I think that's when you focus much more on like the instrumental side of it all. And then when you think about this, it sounds much more lyrical.
I see what you mean. I see what you mean. But like, people have been telling me, like, they said that Lucky Angel was to them like Channel Orange, where they have to not listen to the record for some while because it depresses them and it puts them in a mood where they can't do shit.
That is quite a... I kind of agree with that, but I didn't want to say that.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, so I'm...
How many last summers have you had in like, the past? I remember like Grinch Kid came out around not that long ago, really.
Like, it came out like a year and a half ago. Yeah,
it was quite like in the term that you've kind of been like constantly putting things out or performing.
Constantly, I was trying to, you know, find who we are as Tender Kid and like doing a lot of different things, just testing the waters as well.
And do you think you found it?
I think I'm on the road definitely to it.
Yeah. Or is it like one of those things like you never know until like it ends?
I don't know. I feel like I've found some recurrent themes more lyrically than music wise, to be honest. But every project that I've written has been so different. So different. Like I have, so the second EP that's in the works, and I have another, like I actually like wrote and went in the studio and recorded a whole album with the full band in studio, played everything live, and that's I think never coming out because it's too like real in some sense.
Yeah, I'm trying to work out what timeline that is to appropriate to which one of your loves that was.
Yeah, that was during the girl I was seeing before Ratner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she was a lovely girl, but let's just say she gave me a lot of time to focus on a lot of other things than being in a relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think you kind of are quite good at like using your actual emotions and feelings like into your work, but you don't really. That's the French side of you.
I think so. That's definitely the French side of me,
which is kind of refreshing to see.
I feel like it's the French side, but also like the British side somehow. Like being in England so much and like speaking with. Like somehow, like British people inspire me so much, and the way I write, and the way that they never—I mean, I'm gonna say they, not to generalize—but
yeah.
The people I've—I mean, apart from you, but the people, the people I know that are British, like we'll have talks around like beers, and for the first 2-3 beers, it's like, you know, general stuff and yada yada, but like somehow the fourth beer hits. And they start being so emotional.
That's true of British people, to be fair.
And it's crazy, but the way they're emotional is, it's like a flood. It's like they don't allow themselves to be emotional in their day-to-day life, and at some point it just bursts out. And that's how I want my music to be as well, as a échappatoire, as somewhere where, you know, it just bursts instead of being planned and being polite, like I have to be in my day-to-day life.
Yeah, I think that kind of is like a British thing though, because like, well, like, especially like living in London, you do kind of have that thing where like everyone's not allowed to be sad.
Exactly.
Even though it's like, shut the fuck up, of course you can. But like, no one would have been sad, or you have the few people who do, and then they kind of like looked at a bit weird. Where in France, it's like, if someone's in a bad mood, it's like, okay, we'll get some wine, some coffee.
Exactly.
Have my cigarettes. Exactly. Let's carry on.
Exactly.
In America, like, fuck knows what happens.
Oh man, American people, they indulge in any type of substance just to not feel, ever.
Yeah. But then, does LA count as America anymore?
Hmm?
Like, LA and New York are kind of like, they're like America, but not America.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. New York is like the European America.
Yeah.
New York's like a branch of Paris somehow. Like, everyone's super emotional, drinks coffee and smokes cigarettes.
It actually is true. Like, people drink a lot of coffee.
Yeah.
And especially like being British, we who like don't drink that much coffee at all. Like,
facts.
When I was living in Paris, I think I was like at least 8 cups a day. Mm. When I say cup, I mean espresso. But like,
yeah, that's exactly my rate as well. Like, between 8 and 10 coffees a day, something like that.
And now I'm on like 0. I'm just on tea.
That's crazy.
It's Britain, man.
Yeah. To be honest, if I had PG tips with me in LA, I think I'd be drinking PG tips.
I'm so surprised you know what. It got me laughing instantly. I think it's because I've never heard someone say PG tips out loud.
Really?
Like, here it's just like, I'll go buy tea, but you know what tea that your house buy.
Yeah.
So no one ever says it.
Yeah.
I don't know why that got me.
That was the tea that my childhood best friend, who's English, his father always would buy PG tips, and so I got hooked to PG tips.
You know, like, PG tips is pretty good.
It's pretty good.
I remember, like, when I was in New York for, like, a week, though, they had a thing called, like, what was it called? Like, a London fog. And they put milk in Earl Grey.
Uh-huh.
And they had the Killers playing in the coffee shop radio, and everyone...
Oh, my God.
And everyone... Like, I remember, like, me and Vivian were just kind of there, like, so confused of what was going on.
Was it raining as well?
It was non-stop raining the whole week we were there.
Yeah. You brought London to New York.
We really did, but we were also confused by America.
Yeah, I can see that happening. What do you think of American girls?
Well, the ones that come to London are like the worst ones, because they're kind of like looking for freedom, but then they don't know what freedom is.
Oh yeah, I see what you mean. I see what you mean.
Like, you know, like, same with like Paris Americans though.
And then super facts.
Like Paris lifestyle that's in like the new wave movie.
Super facts. Exactly.
And it's exactly. Like, Jean-Luc Godard was not a good person, and soon you'll find out.
Facts. Facts. Fucking facts. Especially when they're young, they get like the girls that come to do Fille Père.
Yeah. Do you still work in Fashion Week stuff?
Well, when Fashion Week still existed, yeah.
Yeah, like, did you do the last few ones? When was the...
Yeah, I did Milan.
Yeah.
I did Milan, I did Paris, but I didn't go to London.
No, London Fashion Week's a bit nothing.
Yeah, I did London last year, and I was like, I'm never doing this again.
Yeah, it's the same with modeling here. Everyone's like, oh, we'll pay you with exposure, but it's like, Instagram is doable.
Yeah, definitely.
And like, everyone wants to model in Paris or New York, and then they find out like, the two most weirdest places to be.
Super facts. It's the dynamic's strange. Everyone, it's like, it's crazy. I feel like there's a sort of, you know, like, you get trophies for not giving a fuck in Paris and New York as well. Like, the least you care.
Yeah, especially in Paris.
Yeah, facts.
Like, the new, like, male models there are just, like, I mean, like, every Paris male model who's, like, gotten his name out there has just been known for not doing what he's meant to do.
Exactly.
And then if you try that in London, they're like, we're going to drop you. And then you actually get dropped.
Exactly.
I'm trying not to say that with like a bite in my tongue.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I mean, shit, like, to get out of my agency deal in Paris, I had to shave my hair. Like, and I wouldn't come to shoots. I wouldn't do anything. I wouldn't do shit. I had to shave my hair. Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Like, that's how much, like, it's valued in France to not give a fuck. Like, even when you want out, they're like, no.
Yeah, they actually are. I remember, like, friends of mine saying they just want to quit and, like, I don't even know what they want. I don't think they know what they wanted, but they just didn't want that. And the agency, that's like you were saying with France, the agency's like, oh, let's go get a drink and we'll have dinner. And, like, Paris dinner's never actually dinner. But
exactly.
It's kind of mad. Do you think he'll go back, like, to live or just to collect your shit?
I think I'm going to stay here for, like, a good 5 years,
yeah,
to be honest. Give my sister a chance to emancipate herself from my apartment. Give my mother a chance to, you know, live more comfortably as well. Because she was sleeping in the living room, and my father was staying at mine as well, in the corridor, for a long time. So I just, leave my apartment for my family, keep on paying it. And, you know, give everyone a little bit of space to live their lives.
Oh, wholesome.
I mean, shit, I want to live in my own apartment as well, but it doesn't make sense for me to you know, rent another apartment in Paris.
No, yeah, true.
If I already have one.
Where in LA? Would you stay in LA then?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're opening a studio with the record label we're building with Adam and James.
What's the label called?
It's the record label is called Another Day Records.
That's a good name.
Thank you. Another Day.
It's quite fitting for the moment too.
And so Adam and I are basically going to be living in the studio producing all the time, and when I'm not going to be in the studio producing, I'll be outside shooting probably.
Oh, so you're still going to be like shooting as much as you can as well?
I mean, I've been making quite the money during quarantine.
Really?
So I've been more money during quarantine with photography than I have the last trimester of 2019. Yeah.
Do you think it's like, you know how some people don't like to talk about money?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to talk about money because it gives a basis to other creatives to know, like,
exactly.
Brands have money.
Happy you said it like that.
Like, the brands have money. If they tell you they don't have any budget, they're bullshitting.
Yeah.
Like, straight up.
I remember every photographer who's like, is there a budget? And the brand's like, no. It's like, there is, but they just don't want to.
Exactly. They just don't value your art enough to.
Yeah, like, I think young artists need to start realizing that their full price isn't too expensive. It's just like the other person is trying to take the liberty of you being a young artist kind of thing.
Exactly.
Which is quite good that, like, you can get now, like, still young artists, but kind of, like, further on their field to talk about stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's been such a taboo subject.
It is. It is.
Which is so weird.
I mean, there's a whole fear of not getting booked as well.
Yeah.
That people have. Which I understand. I was 100% like that when I was younger.
Yeah, how long into your, like, taking photography more seriously did you start kind of having that as your full-time? Or did you kind of, like, leave your old job and then just go, like, with your savings and go, fuck it?
Well, how it happened, I was working at the... I was doing compliance at the bank. So compliance is surveillance of the financial market.
Okay.
I was doing that at the Société Générale, which is a French bank, when I was 16, like on the weekends, during the holidays.
Yeah.
To pay for my high school. And with my earnings, I decided to go to Vietnam with a couple of friends. And we went there for like 3 weeks. I got kidnapped in Vietnam, by the way, but that's a different story. and so I shot a couple pictures over there, came back, had my first exhibit where I sold everything. Then
what was that
went to Thailand. What?
That feeling of selling everything.
It felt really good.
That's kind of an artist's dream, really.
Yo, especially when you're like, you're 16, it's your first pictures, you sell everything, you know, you make more money. Like, I mean, looking back, it wasn't that expensive, but like, my prints were going for like $800 when I was 16 each. And like, I sold like 12.
Yeah.
But then I sort of had, and that's how I got into fashion, because I sort of had a aftertaste of selling prints of people that were poor and me not giving money to them and not going back and actually helping them.
Yeah.
You know? So I was like, okay, how can I make some money with photography without, you know, basically using poor people? And that's how I got into fashion.
That's quite like a common thing, I feel like.
Yeah.
But then it's also kind of nice to see someone who's like actually realized it. Because a lot of people, I feel like, realize it and then just kind of milk it until they can.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
But I think, especially like someone who, I don't know, I've known you for like 5 years. I feel like you always got like the most good intentions that you can have. I feel like most
people would say
that about you. I feel like most people would say that about you, though, to be fair.
I mean, like, we're rare people. And we need to, like, make this world a better place. Not a better place, but, like, not be the dicks that we know we could be.
Yeah, not a worse place.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember this girl that I used to know. Her favorite saying would always... She would always wake up and just say, I woke up today knowing there's worse people than me.
Facts.
And I was just like, at first, you're like, that's a weird thing to hear at, like, 9 a.m. And then you kind of understand it.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely understand that. I definitely understand. There's some horrible people out here.
I think that's like a big thing about people who don't know fashion and don't know the arts and creative industries as such. Think it's like a lot of glam.
Yeah,
it's like glam definitely. Or cocaine is what they think.
Exactly. There's some horrible people out here. The fashion industry?
Growing about. Because like, I think it kind of also became like such a thing,
like cancel culture and stuff like that. Yeah. I feel like now it's harder than ever.
I think cancel culture has two sides to it. You know, there's a really good part where people are getting called out, and you know.
I think it's like good, but I think it has this thing of now. How do I explain it? Like. To get the proper, like, what's the word? Let's say, but then you still got people like Ian Connor and stuff like that, is kind of what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Facts. Fucking that guy.
Yeah. I don't know. I think cancel culture works until it's like someone who doesn't have to, like, care as such.
Exactly. Like, how do you cancel someone with so much power?
Yeah, exactly. That is very 2020.
Like, when you see the Jeffrey Epstein stuff as well?
Oh, God, yeah. And now everyone's just like, oh, well, he's passed away now. So, it's like, I mean, it's not really how it happened.
Exactly. Like, all the security footage that he was gathering, like, what was he protecting himself from as well? You know?
Yeah.
Like, what could scare a monster like Epstein?
That is a very good way of putting it. 2020 has genuinely got to be...
2020.
Just 2020. you can't even say anymore. Like, it's going to be like in 30 years' time, or if there is a 30 years' time, when you're going to be like, how do you feel today? It's literally going to be 2020.
Yeah, facts. 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 Super facts.
I'm only halfway through. We're halfway through.
As my manager would say, there's a lot that could happen in a week in 2020.
There really is, man. Like, literally, I remember, like, coming out of the hospital in February and this shit started, and I was like, come on.
Yep. And then, and every single day was like, oh, no.
Really? The toilet paper shortage? Holy God, no.
I was literally like, yo, we can take showers or, like, wipe ourselves with, like, cloths.
But why was that even a thing? And at the same time, there was, like, my uni was, like, trying to say, like, don't remember to do your work, guys. It's like, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know, man, universities and, like, the arts as a whole were kind of just trying to dodge this whole thing.
I think the system is, you know, trying to continue on so hard.
Almost too hard. It's kind of like, take a break.
Exactly. It's like, we're taking a break. You can chill too.
Yeah, it's like, close your doors for like a week or two, you know?
Exactly. Did you guys get any stimulus check?
Well, like, not a stimulus check as such, but the government was giving like 80% of your paycheck.
Oh, cool.
But then the companies that were like underneath it, they couldn't then afford the 20% without output, so loads of people got made redundant.
Yeah.
So it then became a flawed system. Especially for uni students, like, well, obviously I'm in uni and stuff like that, so I was working part time. And then they just kind of let us go instead of like doing that stuff.
Yeah.
So like everyone just like has gone home to their parents.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
But then the uni's still asking us to like make work and do like online classes, like online art school isn't art school, people.
Super facts.
I know what they're trying to do with the online school, but it's like if you had to do a project and everything, they were just like one of your shows. Like, have you seen the online art shows?
No.
They are.
Do I want to see them?
No. it's like looking at a Francis Bacon. And then you can see the person filming it in the reflection of like the canvas and the glass on top.
And amazing.
It's just like, I know that Bacon wanted that, but it feels weird that I'm looking at some man I don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
And they walk too fast around the galleries, or there's weird backing music.
It's weird.
Yeah, I feel like people, I don't know. How do you explain that?
That's weird. Another day in 2020.
And then you'll have six songs on your EP. Just one called 2020. Don't actually do
that. Oh, man.
But I bet you some artists are.
Oh, facts. Yo, the number of artists that are using the social economic status as clickbait is crazy.
What do you mean?
Like I'm all for Black Lives Matter, and like of course I'm black.
As about to say, you are black.
But like there's a bunch of artists that are taking Black Lives Matter and making songs.
Oh, that benefiting off it instead of supporting it.
Exactly. Like, don't feed off it, just support it.
How do you feel like being in America, which is obviously like the epicenter as such?
Mm-hmm.
And LA had some big protests as well, I feel like.
Yeah, I've never seen
some. Yeah. Do they still have those? Are you guys still protesting over there?
Yeah, we're still protesting.
Have you been to any?
I've been to one. But then, you know, I don't want to contaminate the people that are in my house.
Yeah.
With Corona.
That's another thing. But like, Corona is actually still a thing.
Yeah. But no, I think it's important. I think it's, you know, I've always been scared of the police, and I've had, you know, some pretty bad experiences with authority.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing that it's happening, and it should have, like, all my life I've been waiting for a revolution, and now it's you know, a baby outburst of what is supposed to happen.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
But I just don't want people to feel that, you know, like, this is it. This is not it. This is just the beginning. And if we don't, you know, push through and find ways to really make a change, a systematic change, rather than, you know, surface change, like what's happening right now.
Yeah, I think surface
like shit.
Becoming mm-hmm. more rare. People are realizing these situations now, like with the Black Lives Matter and plaza and things like that being built. It's kind of like,
yeah, they're giving us candy to forget.
Yeah, it's like, forget, it's like, you know, nice that you did it, but that's not what they're asking for.
Exactly. Exactly. And when you think about it as well, Black Lives Matter, the three biggest donors are Hillary Clinton, which is really not the best person.
Yeah.
And the two other people are George Soros and the pharmaceutical company owned by George Soros, who also owns CNN, Fox News, and is one of the biggest racists on Earth. So, you know,
affiliated
to Bill Gates. Yeah. So that's kind of weird.
I mean, it's kind of like one of those things. You know, like when someone says, oh, I'm not racist, I did these things.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
If it was like that,
I see what you mean.
Situation.
But I think it's more like George Soros, you know, basically owns media in America, and I think he wants to shift the narrative from some other shit that he's doing, really.
Yeah. But I was reading this thing, I can't quote it exactly, but it was like the protest with police brutality are being met with police brutality, and then cops are taking days off because their brutal police friends have been fired or like
exactly
suspended. It's like, come on, like these higher powers seem to go, do you know what? Maybe our cops are bad.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a fucked up system. It's a fucked up system.
And yet there's still people who like claim America to be the best.
Exactly. I don't understand.
Like, I know we were saying how like America, like, let's not get it wrong, like every country has, you know, like it's like the UK is exactly the same. Like, fair enough, we don't have as many shootings because of like how our police works and stuff like that. But then we still have like some fucked up shit when it comes to the police and people.
Oh, super facts. Super facts. Super facts.
Which I think people need to realize that.
That shit.
Yes, America pretty much has it the worst. Going from side. But then like the European, you know, like the Europeans who are saying, well, at least I'm not American and stuff like that. Especially about Paris, like you must admit, Paris is quite bad.
Paris is super bad. Paris is if we could own guns like Americans can.
Oh god, Paris would be terrible.
Paris would be terrible. Like shit, we have like cases of, you know, people being raped by the police with like batons.
Yeah.
On a frequent basis. Imagine what they could do with guns. Like.
But like even like what are they, like the military in Paris that walk around? I never really knew what they were exactly.
Yeah, these are the anti-terrorist attacks squads.
Yeah. Which, like, I can understand them being there, but even, like, it's kind of freaky to see.
It is. It's pretty dystopian.
Yeah. And, like, you never, I don't know why, but I've never felt safe near a policeman.
Yeah, neither have I.
Yeah, just to clarify, I'm, like, a white male as well. So I probably have the least to worry about. And I still don't feel that good.
Yeah. Yeah. Authority is pretty fucked in most countries. The only place I feel safe around cops is Sweden, for some reason.
Bro, I was about to say, Scandinavia literally has it right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Maybe we should move there.
I mean, it's dark during 6 months of
the year. I was about to say it's really cold. The sun doesn't come up, but not many racists or killer cops.
Well, not many killer cops. Racists.
That's like a 50-50 one.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Which is more less in America, but
I mean, more than America. More than racist, they're anti-Semitic.
Yeah, which I've never understood.
Yeah, me neither.
I mean, I don't understand any of it, but especially, like, how is that a specific thing that you can hate on? Like, you're Scandinavian, right? You know that. Okay.
Like, shit.
Oh.
You know? Yeah.
It is what it is. Another day in 2020.
Yeah, what do you think about people making, like we were saying about musicians, like other artists and stuff, like the photographers and the influencers, which are now apparently artists and stuff like that, during this 2020 movement? There's like an ending to the podcast. It's like, end on that.
I think the speaking about 2020 and speaking about BLM and all the problems that are happening in the world today is a very touchy subject. I think the best things artists could do is relay information right now.
Yeah.
Or continue on and do their art. But there's, I think there's a way and form of like incorporating
all these socioeconomic problems that we're having. And if you don't do it right, then it could, you know, promote the other message.
Yeah.
Like go the other way. It's all about, you know, doing good to the cause more than fucking it up more.
Yeah, basically. It's such a simple thing to like understand, but then such a hard thing to come across to people.
Oh yeah, facts. Facts. Like, for example, I think the best example I could give is people going around tagging, like graffitiing BLM.
Oh yeah.
On, like stores, like white people doing that, where when black people don't do it because we know it's illegal and it could eventually like bite us in the ass, but they don't think about that because they never really had to think about that, you know?
Yeah, that's like the fake allyship and things like that.
Exactly. Exactly. Like it's not fun. It's not fun. It's not. Don't go out because you haven't been outside for a while and it's your excuse to get out of quarantine.
Yeah, just like go for a walk if you really want to go outside.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, shit, buy some canvases on Amazon. Like, you know, if that's what you want to do, then do it. But
damn.
So, yeah, I got to go. I have a meeting at 3.
Perfect time. Because,
you know, LA is like so big.
Perfect timing. That was literally it.
But thank you for calling.
Of course. I'm sure there'll be like another one in the whenever this shit ends.
And you know yes.
If it doesn't end, then nowhere to be found. Bye.
Don't care, my heart, see you then.
I'll see you around, man.
See you.
Bye.
Safe and sound. Why you like it when I smoke too much? Ignore you when you talk. Say no to meeting up, no reason for you to have my trust. For me to have your trust, why you like it when I twist your arm? Is it pain that you're searching? I've been asked to everyone but you, but you still want me, I can't understand it. I've made it pretty fucking clear. I don't want you, but you still want me near. She be waiting all day, said she attached, baby, we all slaves. Don't catch no feelings, just heat waves. Wait. When I don't want you, tell you not today. Say. And why'd you find it okay? Okay. I've been nice to everyone but you, not today.